Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 7 through 13. But for those who are righteous, the way is not steep and rough. You are a God who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of them. Lord, we show you our trust in you by obeying your laws. Our hearts desire to glorify your name. In the night, I search for you. In the morning, I earnestly seek you, for only when you come to judge the earth will people learn what is right. Your kindness to the wicked does not make them do good. Although others do right, the wicked keep doing wrong and take no notice of the Lord's majesty. O Lord, they pay no attention to your upraised fist. Show them your eagerness to defend your people. Then they will be ashamed. Let your fire consume your enemies. Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you. O Lord our God, others have ruled us, but you alone are the one we worship. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
Even season of stress and distractions, God offers us the roadmap to peace. It is easy for me to get lost in a sea of doubt, fear, obstacles, and despair. Being a pastor under normal circumstances is a stressful job, believe it or not. The pastor's job goes far beyond Bible studies and sermon writing, goes far beyond fellowship. It involves administrative skills, ordering the life of the church, ordering the ministry and the mission of the church, marketing, community organizing, and diplomacy. The pastor is the public face of the congregation, representing them to the leaders and agencies within their community. And these are just a few of the pastoral realities, again, under normal circumstances. But these are not normal circumstances. I just want you to think about 12 months ago. Where were you on a Sunday 12 months ago? You were here in the church, worshiping and getting ready for Christmas, going out shopping in public, eating out, getting in the spirit, going to concerts, doing all sorts of things. Where are we now, 12 months later? In our houses, locked away because we're afraid we're going to catch a deadly disease we didn't know was upon us this time last year. These are not normal circumstances. For the first time in the history of the church, we are all virtual for Advent and Christmas. Even when we were in person, attendance was down. Way down, actually. Because people were afraid to catch this virus. So we would have 16, 20 in person and a whole host of other people, far more people watching online than they were in person. Which means that, and you guessed it, giving was way down. While we can thank God for online givers and online giving, which have by and large remained consistent and faithful, and we thank you to all of you who have been giving online, thank you so much. Checks and traditional giving has declined. Now, there are people who have consistently given, people who have pledged that have been faithfully giving and mailing in their checks, people who come in person who drop their checks off in the plate. But there are a lot of people who aren't coming to church, and you know the phrase, out of sight, out of mind. It's not intentional. It's just reality. All of this, of course, adds to the stress of how we are going to pay for our shared ministries, our billables, our mission, and our ministries. I've been talking about this all year long, pleading for your support, and I thank you for those of you who have responded, either by mailing your checks or giving online. Thank you so much for your generosity. As we approach 2021, we do so with great uncertainty, given the fact that this pandemic is seemingly going to get worse before it gets better. And then, as with all churches, we wonder, when things finally do get back to normal, and they will at some point, when they finally do get back to at least more normal, how many people will actually return back to worship in person? What will our new normal look like? These concerns and fears are not exclusive to our church community by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, our church community are probably doing better than some other church communities. All churches are going through these times. All churches have these concerns and fears. All churches are concerned about the impact of COVID-19 and our future mission and ministry. It is easy, very easy, to get lost in a sea of doubt, fear, obstacles, and despair. There are times when we need to carve out a path to accomplish a goal. Times when the path is not necessarily right before us, but we have to make one. We have to carve it out, chop down the trees, level the ground, pack it down, pave it, do all the hard work it takes to move forward rather than staying stuck where we are. Like in baking bread, we want to remove lumps in our dough so we can smooth it out with a roller. If we don't smooth it out, we can't control what will happen when placed in the oven. Pockets of flour balls can develop. Or like in golf, debris needs to be cleared to make a space for your ball, or you can't control where your ball may go. If you try to golf in the middle of the woods, who's telling what's going to happen to it, right? The likeliness that it's just going to hit smooth air and sail out of the woods is pretty slim. More than likely, it's going to hit a tree or some other obstacle in its way. In life, there are obstacles and rough places that are beyond our control. For the Church Universal, COVID-19 and the worries that result from it are some of those obstacles, some of those mountains. What are the mountains and obstacles that get in your way and disrupt your sense of peace? God prepares a way for us that leads to peace, friends. Smooth, straight, level, mountains brought down, valleys raised up. In our scripture today, we see that obstacles and difficulties are not ignored, but God deals with them justly. And so a smooth path is created for those who seek God and God's ways. The good news is we don't have to carve this path out alone. We have a God who is a path carver, a God who is a mountain mover, a God who is a valley raiser. For instance, in chapter 26, verse 8 of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, Isaiah wrote, "In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the soul's desires." Verse 8 also talks about the Lord's renown. Though remembering how God has led the people in the past out of Egypt and through the wilderness, they found peace. They found peace, knowing God would continue to lead them in their moments and in their obstacles and in their challenges in the present. And the same is true for us. Take a moment to think of difficult circumstances in the past and how God has made a way through them for you. Surely, looking back into your life, you can see times when you thought you would never make it. The goings were too tough, the hills were too steep, the wilderness too rugged. And yet here you are on the other side. Sometimes it is hard to see the way of peace God has prepared for us. Sometimes it is hard to see God at all, let alone the peace God is carving out for us, the way of peace. When people or circumstances seem to be against us, it is hard to believe that peace will ever come. Verses 10 and 11, in fact, express the people of Judah's anger that their enemies were seemingly prospering while they were struggling. God, you said that you would bring us to a land of milk and honey where your blessings were flowing, and yet those who oppose us are the ones who are prospering. Those who oppose us are eating the milk and honey, and we're over here wondering where you are. But they knew that because God loved them, had provided for them, and was righteous, God would bring peace. In verse 12, Isaiah acknowledged, and I quote, "Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you." The Israelites practiced the posture of actively waiting for and seeking the Lord. Check out verses 8 and 9. In Advent, we are called to do the same, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who was sent to give us peace and calls us to be peacemakers in this chaotic, violent, cruel, and cold world. Seek peace from God, trusting that God will be with you and guide you. What are your obstacles, rough places, and how can you let God come in and offer you peace? In this frantic time of Christmas preparation, what steps can you take to find peace by focusing on Christ? In this time of not being able to gather the way we once did for the holidays, what steps can you take to find peace by focusing on Christ? Prayer, devotion, Sabbath, and rest time, active listening. In a time where we wait with expectation for the Prince of Peace, yet frantically run around stressed with holiday planning and holiday activities, we cannot allow the obstacles and frustrations we encounter in this season to let us forget about God's peace. We must stay focused on Jesus, who is the giver of peace. And this is not true just for the holiday season, which comes and goes at the snap of a finger, the blink of an eye, but throughout our whole lives. If we stay focused on Jesus, we will have a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this message. Hopefully it inspires us to let us know that, look, at everybody everywhere at this time are going through challenges and obstacles that in the moment seem insurmountable. Churches are, nonprofits are, hospitals certainly are, businesses are. Everyone across the board is feeling the hurt from this pandemic, feeling the uncertainty, feeling the pain, and not knowing what the way forward is. But Lord, we as Christians, we in the church, recognize it's not our way, but your way. We recognize that it is you who makes the way for us, not the other way around. So help us, Lord, to embrace your way and to accept your peace, which passes all understanding, by keeping our focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the Prince of Peace himself. Amen.